A Vern Rayburn time capsule. How close did he call it? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Through most of 2007, it was easy to find people willing to write off Eclipse Aviation. Some of the company's more ambitious expectations were not happening on schedule, and CEO Vern Rayburn took heat for publicly discussing development issues with a candor which was refreshing, if somewhat disconcerting to customers holding production positions. Today, we're going to revisit one of last year's turning points for Eclipse, the decision to end its relationship with Avadyne and make over its aircraft-defining Avio integrated flight deck, all while trying to keep an ambitious production schedule. As we now know, 2007 aircraft production at Eclipse fell short of expectations. Rumors circulated about the company's future, and until recently, this time capsule might have been painful to revisit. But shortly after this press conference took place in March, the 500 earned its production certificate, and late in the year, Avio NG was certified. Here's Eclipse President and CEO Vern Rayburn.
Welcome, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Vern Rayburn, President and CEO of Aviation. And I'm here today to talk about our new plans for Avio, the Total Aircraft Integration System. I'm obviously very excited about being able to finally discuss something we've been working on very extensively. Just to review what Avio is, it was something that we designed for the Eclipse 500 to provide total aircraft integration through integral redundant computer systems and advanced data and power distribution systems. In other words, it integrates the whole aircraft, avionics, engine operation, fuel system, flaps, landing gear, cabin environment, and quite literally everything else that happens in the Eclipse 500. Now, we did this because we believe strongly that by integrating to this totally unprecedented level, the systems of an airplane, we would achieve a significantly new lower level of pilot workload, an increased ease of operation, and most fundamentally, a significantly improved safety of operations. In other words, just to be a bit trite, this is not your father's federated system airplane. And today's announcement really puts us in the red zone of being able to achieve these goals finally. As you know, last week we announced that Eclipse Aviation and Avadyne had decided to term out our relationship, and I promised to have you this update within 14 days. So here we are. We have worked constructively for an extended period of time with Avadyne to try and resolve a variety of complex issues. And we explored all other reasonable alternatives before making this decision. I want to emphasize that this was a business decision made in the mutual best interests of both companies and, most importantly, our customers. And we're eager to move forward with Avadyne, so let me begin with exactly what that is. Today we're relaunching Avio as Avio NG, and we're looking forward to delivering the Avio that we have always promised with some bonuses enhancements. Avio enhancements will include, one, significantly improved reliability achieved through, one, EFA software that's already been similarly deployed as Level A software, the highest rated software available. A significant improvement in mean time between failures, MTBF, for both the PFD and MFD hardware and the RF hardware. So what's that mean? Less time in shop and more time in the air. Let me give you some numbers. Specifically, the Avadyne displays typically had MTBFs in the 1,400-hour range. The MTBFs for ISSC's displays are in the 7,000-plus range, a 5X improvement. And Honeywell, which will be one of the other components of this, is calculating MTBFs on their new system at a 6,000-hour plus range. Now, just a note of reference, all these calculations are done via the MIL 217 spec, so there's a consistency between this. The hardware systems that we'll be installing have previously been used primarily in Part 25 aircrafts, which have obviously higher performance and fidelity than most Part 23 systems. And there is an improvement, being this Avio version 2.0, so to speak, of systems architecture and design. Additionally, the displays have significantly increased resolution. In the case of the PFD, we've gone from a 600 by 800 to a 768 by 1024. That means we've had nearly a 63% increase in pixel density. What's that mean? Just go down to Best Buy and look at an HD TV, and you'll understand precisely what I'm talking about. In the case of the MFD, we've gone from a 1024 by 768 to a 1440 by 900 display, an increase of over 65% in pixel density. And it's really simple. The more pixels, the better the resolution, the better the resolution, the better the clarity, and the easier interpretation for pilots. We've also improved wide-angle viewability. The new displays, in fact, are so readable from either side of the cockpit that we now have common displays for left and right. No longer do we have a separate part number to deal with the readability or the angle of readability or viewability. We have one part number for both displays. We've also enhanced digital audio and communications and navigation systems, CNS functionality, which will give pilots many more options to decrease their workload. For example, the ability to monitor not just two, but up to four VHF frequencies. An improved growth of capability for the future next generation avionics will keep options open for enhancements down the road. In other words, we are starting to achieve our objective, which has always been to have a soft system that software alone can bring capabilities as the next NGATS or next generation air traffic systems introduced. Now, I'd like to formally introduce new partners, our new partners for Avio NG. On the line with me are representatives from our new partners, from ISNS, the Chairman CEO Jeff Hendrick and President Roman Patowski, from Chilton Flight Systems, Vice President Sales and Marketing, Bruce Bonanovich, from Garmin, Senior Director in Aviation Marketing Sales, Carl Wolf, from Honeywell, OEM Business Manager, Bob Compton, and from PS Engineering, the founder and CEO, Mark Shore. We're really excited and, frankly, very proud to be working with such highly reputable and successful avionics companies. Their established track record and superior capabilities will allow us to provide our customers with the Avio that we have always envisioned and promised. And we're looking forward to very long and successful relationships with each company. Now, just for a little bit of background behind each company, Innovative Solutions and Support, what I've been calling ISNS, is a publicly traded high-performance international avionics supplier to the civilian, military, business, and commercial markets, and they will provide hardware and software for the Eclipse 500 PFDs and MFDs. Some of their prior major contracts have included flat panel displays for the Boeing 737, 757, 67, 747, legacy Citation aircraft, the Pilatus PC-12, and numerous military aircraft, including the C-130 and KC-10. We're super excited to have such a strong, proven company on board to take Avio above and beyond what we have previously delivered. Chilton Flight Systems. Avio NG will include a flight management system provided by Chilton. This is an FMS that has been proven multiple aircraft installations starting more than 6 years ago and now has flight guidance algorithms for all of the Airlink 424 published flight segments. That also includes airway-to-airway navigation. The core of the FMS has been written and certified to Level A standards in previous releases. The guidance functionality provided includes GPS lateral aircraft control along with vertical navigation. The Chilton FMS will be integrated into the Avio NG, presenting the pilot with a single, consistent user interface that is highly integrated. This full-feature RTCA DO-229C capable flight management system also includes capability to create, save, store, recall, reverse, and edit flight plans by waypoint or airway. And the user will be able to create custom waypoints, add or delete waypoints from an active route, and specify parallel track operation. Next is Garmin. Garmin needs no introduction. It's an amazing company that in the span of little more than 17 years has inverted the general aviation avionics industry on its ear and become the dominant company in that industry at this stage. In addition to that, they have pioneered a phenomenal range of consumer electronics and is now one of the leaders in what are now being called personal navigation devices, PNDs, yet another acronym. Garmin's committed to the development and support of exceptional products, and this is one of the key reasons we chose their transponders for Avio NG. Avio NG's dual remote-mounted MODES enhanced surveillance transponder will be provided by Garmin's GTX-33 and GTX-33D. These IFR-certified Level 2 solid-state MODES transponders offer expanded functionality, including optional diversity capability needed for European and rest of the world operations. Avio integrates the transponders and serves as the pilot interface for the transponder functions. Next, and a very exciting component, which is Honeywell. Avio NG uses the new Honeywell Primus Apex KTR-2280 multi-mode digital radios, MMDR, consisting of digital VHF navigation receivers, which means VOR localizer glide slope, and an optional ADF receiver. In addition, each MMDR includes one transmitter and six receivers capable of 8.33 kHz channel spacing operation and simultaneous monitoring of two VHF communication frequencies. That means with two radios in the aircraft, you have the ability to monitor up to four frequencies at once and transmit on two different. The KTR-2280 is seamlessly integrated into AVIO-NG, providing users with radio management capability through the PFDs and MFDs. No radio heads for either the transponder or the radios in the navigation equipment. Lastly, but not least, I should add, PS Engineering. PS Engineering focuses solely on producing audio control panels. This focus means that they're extremely knowledgeable about this category, and in fact, they hold more audio control patents for general aviation than any other company. And they are dominant market share of add-on and OEM audio panels. PS Engineering's PMA-500 remote audio control system will provide the digital audio control for AVIO-NG. The PMA-500 interfaces with the AVIO-NG for audio selection, mode control, intercom, and marker beacon indication. The new audio panel includes dual transmit split audio capability, in-flight entertainment input, and Televox, a patented squelch protocol that eliminates manual intercom squelch and adjusts dynamically to sound condition.
When we return to our time capsule, we'll hear reporter questions and answers with Vern Rayburn of Eclipse Aviation. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today we're digging up a time capsule from March 2007. Vern Rayburn is introducing AVIO-NG, which we now know received certification late in the year. And Vern is set to field reporter questions now.
Good afternoon, Vern. You've got quite a team there.
Thank you, Jack.
What impact will this have on your production, and what will be your production output projected for 2007 and also 2008?
Well, for 2007, our current projected output is 402 aircraft. And as I said earlier, we see no impact on this production output. In other words, we are building aircraft today with the Avidyne-based AVIO, and Avidyne, as part of the separation agreement, has agreed to continue to provide equipment to us until we have the new equipment certified and installed on the aircraft. So we see no impact of this. I can't quote you a precise number of aircraft that will go out the door with the AVIO, with the old version of AVIO on it, but it will be less than half of the aircraft this year, and then we will immediately launch a mod program for all our customers as soon as we have the AVIO-NG certified, and we, as I said, will be retrofitting all of those aircraft with the new equipment. In terms of our production target for 2008, it's just under 1,000 aircraft, and for 2009, we're going to let the market tell us where we should go.
Okay, and what about your production certificate? What's the impact on gaining a production certificate for the aircraft, particularly for 135 operations?
Well, 135 has nothing to do with production certification.
Yeah, I really have two questions trying to sneak it in as one.
Say follow on, Jack. In terms of production certification, we're continuing to work with the FAA. We'll have something to say about that here in the next couple of weeks. I would emphasize, I've tried to make this point numerous times, but I'll take the opportunity to make the point once again, which is production certification is not a prerequisite to delivering aircraft. It's something that we need to get in place to be able to produce aircraft at the rate we envisioned But right now, today, the FAA is here examining aircraft, inspecting aircraft, and issuing the C of A directly under production, under a concept or under regulation that's actually called production under type certificate. So production certification is not something we require. It's something that we need to get to ramp, and we're working with the FAA to that end. I would note that Mooney Aircraft, for instance, worked without a production certificate for nearly 50 years before they finally did get one. So it's certainly a doable approach. It's not the approach that we want to do, and we will resolve this here in the near future. In terms of 135, the initial aircraft that will be delivered with the current Avios system are today 135 compliant with one solitary exception, which is this, which is a independent standby third AHARS or third heading attitude reference source. Today, we will deliver those aircraft with a mechanical third AHARS installed. The irony is all the aircraft actually already have a third solid-state crossbow AHARS installed, but because we cannot channel it through the Avidyne displays, we're having to install this mechanical backup. When we go to Avio NG, we will then have a complete third independent source, which is already actually certified. The AHARS itself is actually already certified and TSO'd and certified in the airplane. I should be clear on that. And that will be displayed on the MFD just like we've already shown. So there'll be a small number of initial aircraft here that for 135 operation, principally day jet, they will have a mechanical one installed in the instrument panel. We'll ultimately remove that and channel the data on the data bus from the already installed third solid-state AHARS up to the instrument panel. Just as a sidebar here, one of the really interesting challenges that I don't think we fully understood, and as, particularly as we started looking for replacement components, we clearly didn't understand, is that as we move towards these significantly more integrated cockpits, be they the G1000 from Garmin or the Chelton system or even the Avidyne system, these things aren't just like where you can take a box out of the panel and slide another box into the panel. And in particular, one of the extreme values, and once again, I realize this is so new and it's so different that it's very difficult to have an intelligent discussion because there's really no context or no sort of referential basis to have the discussion with. But one of the real values of this integration is it smooths out the interaction of all these components from a standpoint of presenting information and control to the pilot. So when we say we're going to use the Chelton FMS, and I'm not trying to pick on Chelton, quite the opposite, this is a really good example. They've got a great system. It has more capability than almost anything else flying out there today when you get outside of the Rockwell and the high-end Honeywell-type systems.
May I have a supplementary and ask about head-up displays and enhanced vision?
Sure. I love heads-up displays, and I really love enhanced vision. This is a really interesting convergence of challenges because, once again, the compute capacity is irrelevant, meaning
sure.
We can add as many MIPS or FLOPS or whatever you want to the system almost not willy-nilly but fairly easily.
Yeah.
The big challenge for us is we have a very, very severe physical constraint in terms of where to put this stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Moore's law doesn't apply to optics quite as much as it does to processors or even display technology. So we're talking with a lot of people. We've seen most of the systems that are out there today, both EVS and HUDs. I believe there's a lot of value in both of those technologies, and I think there's even a lot of value in the combined synthetic vision EVS approach, and there's a lot of people working on it.
Yeah.
What we've tried to do, and if there's one takeaway from today I hope you get, is that what we're trying to do is architect a system that as these new technologies mature, it doesn't mean you have to throw away your airplane to get them. It doesn't mean you have to throw away everything inside the airplane. We're trying very hard to lay the foundation and the architecture to have ultimately an infinitely evergreenable or expandable aircraft. And we think that will make this aircraft very, very unique in the fleet if we can achieve that objective.
History will record that Eclipse delivered just over 100 aircraft in 2007, well below expectations, but still a first-year record for a jet manufacturer. Now, with Avio NG certified and $30 million in fresh investment from customers, followed by a blockbuster announcement of a second assembly facility in Russia funded by that country's government, 2008 is looking a little brighter. Whether it's 1,000 planes brighter, only time will tell. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.